Welcome to the Taoist Dude podcast. I'm going to ask you, why are you not measuring your rest? And I don't mean the rest between exercises. I mean the rest between sets. And why should it be 15 minutes? I'll explain later. Now, the first point I want to bring up is consistency. You have to be consistent. You need to lift consistently. You need to lift the same things over and over, in the same manner over and over, to build more muscle. If you're doing too many different things at once, it's not going to work. And if you're only lifting and working out your muscles once a week, unless you're on the gear and juice, it's not going to work as well. You want to work out each muscle group a minimum of twice a week. And that's the consistency that's needed. An upper lower push pull done twice a week is more than enough. Even a full body three times a week is plenty for the average person. But we're not talking about average here. We're talking about people that want to put on more mass and look better. And that's where this consistency comes in. You don't have to be too obsessive, but a little obsession helps. It's a known fact that in order for you to build more muscle, you need to work with the principles of progressive overload. Meaning that over time, you're improving and doing more. You can either lift more weight, which is what most people do. That's the legend of Milo, who, when the calf was born, he used to pick up and carry that calf over a hill every day. And as the calf grew larger, so did he grow stronger. And then over time, he was able to carry the whole bull all the way up because he did it every day. It's a great story, but it doesn't carry over 100% to how we actually do things. Because progression is not a straight line up. Some days are better, some days are worse. Overall, it's a straight line up, but you can't progress infinitely in that manner. Second method is through volume, total amount of work. Now, when you look at some of the bodybuilders and the type of work they put in, they're doing a ton of volume. So what is the volume? More sets. Assume they're doing sets of 10. They might do 6 or 7 sets and then move on to another exercise for the same muscle, but slightly different. And then move on to a different exercise that might still be the same muscle or might not, depending on the lifter. But either way, it's more volume. So that muscle gets more exposure and that will lead to more growth. Now, the last one is one that you may not have heard of, but it makes a big difference, and that's density. Now, density means total amount of time. People like to say time under tension is what builds muscle. Yes, however, it's not more tension, it's also less time. So if you take the idea of time over tension, you can increase the amount of tension and increase the amount of time. So if you started with only 2 minutes total of tension, let's say, and you were able to do 4 minutes of tension, well, that's fantastic. You're going to build muscle if that's the case. But what if you could do 4 minutes of tension in 3 minutes time? Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? But what it means is if you're able to do more work in less time, you're still going to achieve those same muscle building benefits. Now, everything has a cap. Let's go back to the idea of more weight. You want to lift heavy. If you lift on the heavier side, you will build more mass because you're, in essence, forcing your body to adapt. Those lighter repetitions, those lighter weights, they're great for recovery, and you can build more muscle with light weights. The problem is it's quite inefficient. If you want an example, go look up the Great Gamma. Look up that guy and look at his thighs. That guy had monstrous thighs. Problem was, he wasn't barbell back squatting. He was doing Hindu squats, bodyweight squats. How many was he doing? Thousands a day. Thousands. So he was able to build up a lot of muscle mass doing that. And he also got the added benefit of the heavier he went, or the heavier he got, the more work he put in, but he was doing thousands. So can you build muscle with less weight? You can, but it's inefficient at a certain point. It's much more effective to use heavier weight to achieve the same goals. So how heavy are we talking? You want to work in the 85% range. What's 85%? It's a weight that you can do roughly 5 times and no more. Now, what do I mean by no more? This also relates to the muscle building principles. You want to go to technical failure. Technical failure is the point where you begin to slow down, where your form begins to break. You could probably squeeze out another 2, maybe 3 reps at that point. But technical failure is where you want to stop. And it all has to do with the recovery or the rest in between sets. So if you do this, you're able to eke out more reps and build more mass. You're working towards the edge. The statement is always, and it's very important for us men, is do you want to work to the edge of pleasure? You want to work to the point where it's no longer fun. If you consistently do that, you expand your range and that edge gets further and further away. And now you have a bigger area of play. You want to make sure that you don't reach complete failure. Just technical failure is good enough. It'll also save you time so you're not spending so much time in the gym, and it'll also save you soreness. Soreness does not indicate muscle growth. You don't have to be sore to grow. You can still grow and not be sore. There's ways to do that, and there's methods of lifting that can give you that. There's other tricks of the trade. Two main ones that have to do that give you the illusion of more mass. The first is follow bodybuilders' principles. In other words, you're looking for the aesthetic aspect. If you build muscle in the right places, it makes you look more filled out and larger than you really are. So it gives you the illusion of size. And that's a big goal. You don't have to work really hard to make yourself super huge. Just work hard enough in the right places and you will look super huge. If you want a good example of this, look at the guy from the 1950s and 60s, those bodybuilders. Look at any of them. Steve Reeves is one that comes to mind, for example. They look phenomenal. And they don't look as bulky as today's bodybuilders because methods have changed, but they still looked filled out because they knew how to work the frame. They knew how to fill themselves out to make themselves look big. They were still really strong dudes, though. Don't get me wrong. They were still strong on many levels. But the difference between then and now is the use of steroids and the use of growth hormone. And you don't need that. You can build adequately enough without that, without being on gear. And some people are impatient and they want it now, and that's fine. If that's really what you want, then go for it. But just know that your health plummets. It does break you, and you may not recover for 10 to 15 years after you stop. So be very cautious and get well informed if you're going to go that route, because using exogenous substances like that is not helpful. Now, another trick that you can use as an aesthetic visual cue is dropping your fat percentage. The leaner you are, the more cut you look. The more cut you look, the bigger you seem. You can take two people with the same amount of muscle mass, same height, but one will look larger than the other because of the way the body contours. Also, if you're on the shorter side, you have a statistical advantage because compared to a much taller guy, you will look bulkier lifting the same weight as a taller guy because your frame is smaller and it fills out easier, as opposed to a taller man whose frame has to be filled out a lot more for them to look yoked. I want to talk about those rest periods and why 15 minutes is the best. And it has a little something to do with creatine. Now, some of you may be taking creatine, some of you may not. Creatine helps you do more repetitions, which will help you do more exercise and build more muscle. But there's this unique mechanism in the body. What is creatine used for? So creatine is the jet fuel. When you begin an exercise, it's the first source of energy in the body. And once it gets used up, that's enough time for the other processes of whether aerobic or anaerobic, meaning with or without oxygen, fuel sources to kick in and carry it on. Think of it like gear shifting, where the first gear is the creatine. And once it's used up, it kicks into the second or third gear, depending on what you're using. So the first gear helps you get started up there. And then progressively, as you switch gears, it gets harder to go up that hill. And that's essentially how. The reason I say 15 minutes between sets is because it allows you to do more density. What happens is the muscle naturally replenishes the creatine over time. After 15 minutes, it's beyond its baseline, meaning you have an excess, and that's the best time to do it, because now that it's been 15 minutes, you can eke out a lot more reps. Let me put this in perspective for you. When I was lifting very heavily, after doing my main working set, and let's say it's overhead presses, let's say my rep range was 3, for all sets. So then I'm resting 15 minutes. Then I come back up, I'd pick up the bar, and I'd overhead press it. And I would typically get 5, sometimes 6 reps after 15 minutes of rest. If you're measuring your rest periods, you can get more density done, more reps in the same amount of time as someone else that isn't. Although it's not followed as much, imagine if somebody is doing 30 seconds of rest as opposed to 2 minutes. And 2 minutes seems like a long time, but just follow the math here for a moment. Someone that does 30 seconds of rest, maybe will get 5 reps, and then maybe 3, and then maybe 1, and then they're done. Maybe they'll use a lighter weight and try to do it again. But let's assume they just do 5, 3, 1, and they're finished. They can't squeeze out another rep. So their total rep count comes to 9. But someone that does 2 minutes of rest will get 5, and maybe another 5 or 4 on the next set. With just those 2 sets, they did more work than the other guy. And remember, the other guy's resting 30 seconds in between. So in other words, what he did in 90 seconds, this person did in about 2 minutes. And this isn't counting the actual time that you're pressing, but more work in less time. Now they could go for a third set after 2 minutes, maybe get 4 or 3 reps. And if they wait another 2 minutes, they can get a few more reps. Effectively, they can get into the double digits, whereas the other person was only single digits. If you want to talk about time under tension and density, that's the ticket right there. So measuring your rest is so important and vital. It will help you get more muscle. I guarantee it. And of course, there's other things. Make sure you're not having too many sweets and make sure you improve your testosterone. If any of these points interested you, I do want you to know, I have a newsletter. Join the newsletter and you get access to all these neat little cool things that are actionable as well to help you become a better man and live more in accordance with who you want to be and need to be authentically. Now, why am I talking so much about lifting? Because muscle mass is metabolism. Metabolism is health. How does this play with the Eastern perspectives? Well, we talk about a muscle fatiguing because it runs out of fuel supply or there's too much hydrogen in the muscle, and that's what causes fatigue. It's not so much the lactic acid, but more the hydrogen that's associated and created alongside the lactic acid that causes the muscle to fatigue. But in the Eastern perspective, we say that what's happening is the currents of energy within the body get obstructed by a muscle contraction. This makes sense because as the muscle's tensing, you're stopping the venous flow, which is the blood flow back to the heart, with the muscle contraction. Now, granted, it's not the entire time, but this is responsible for the pump feeling that people get in their muscle, is that blood return constantly getting backed up. That's where the Eastern perspective comes in, is where they say the muscle contracts and prevents the flow of the energy through the body, and that will inevitably lead to muscle fatigue. You have to wait for the channels to flow normally again to be able to do it again. But that also means that it's pumping the energy through. Take, for example, that how does the blood return to your heart from your feet if there's no pressure? The pressure is very low. It's from the walking. As you walk and the muscles contract, it pushes the blood back up the leg through the hip back to the heart. It's by muscle contraction. As we look at Eastern methodology, we also mention that movement is medicine. And it's true because movement helps to move along the energy or the components within the body. And here we're talking about specifically like the venous system, the blood return system, but also we're talking about the energy production system in the muscle, the ATP, that is the fuel for the muscle source. So you either create a bigger store of ATP producing molecules and you use the ATP more efficiently over time because bigger muscle is going to be able to lift those heavier weights much easier, much more efficiently. So you get a lot of health benefits from both perspectives. When you get to a certain age over 50, muscle waste becomes a thing. And the only way to prevent that really is through enough exercise. Muscle mass is health. It's metabolism. So for your sake, not just to look good, although that's a big plus, build more mass for your health because you deserve it.